to be his disciple. Okay, those are different ways of saying disciple. Being a student, being a team member, being a disciple. Now, what did you feel when you heard that Jesus basically says, you have to hate your father and your mother? What did people feel when they heard that? Anyone want to share that? You felt upset. Why is that, Dan? Because, okay, so Dan loves his mom and dad. So he's saying, why is Jesus telling me to hate my mom and dad? Really good. Any other feelings or reactions that you'd like to share? Yes, Anne. Anne, you're surprised. Why were you surprised by Jesus saying, hate your mother and father? Why were you surprised? It seems unreasonable. Jesus is asking something that's unreasonable. Is it even right to hate your mom and dad? I hope you're thinking, oh my gosh, that's not good. What about, it also says, your wife and your children, your brothers and your sisters. It's not good to hate your brothers and your sisters, is it? It's important to love them too, right? Well, sometimes we have lots of feelings of not love to our brothers and sisters. I have two sisters, and I know I love them deeply, but sometimes they make me feel pretty mad. But that's part of being in a family. I hope that when you heard this reading, you felt uncomfortable. I hope it put you in an uncomfortable position. It's a bit like the reading we had last week, which also put us in an uncomfortable position. And we had an amazing conversation about that last week. I love my mom, just like you, Dan. I love my mom and I want to love my mom. So when I read this, I thought, what is Jesus doing here? Well, Jesus is doing something really good. He is intentionally being provocative. He is speaking in an exaggerated way. And some people might even say he's using hyperbole, which is to speak in exaggerated tones to explain and make his point clear. Okay? So Jesus is saying this. If you want to be my student, if you want to follow me, you need to love me the most, the most, the most. So even though you love your mom and your dad, even though you love, some of us are married, if you love your spouse, some of us have grandparents still, you love your grandma and grandpa, right? You love them a lot, right? You could probably write poetry. I bet you could write poetry, Jilly, about your grandma and grandpa, right? Some of us could paint pictures about how much we love some of the people that are in our lives. We love them a lot. Sometimes our love is so much that we don't even have words to express it. I know for myself, when my dad died, I didn't realize how much I loved him until he died, because there were so many things I loved about him, and it was when he was gone that I started to think about them all, okay? So love can be deep and broad, right? So Jesus is saying, you have to love me. It's that deep love, that broad love that you have for your mom or your dad, or your spouse, your grandma and grandpa, your siblings. You have to love me even more. So it's not that he is saying in the text, he says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his brother, his father, his mother, etc., you can't be my disciple. That is to say, you got to love me with everything you've got. Okay, so he is being provocative, but it's important just to make a point about what it costs to be his disciple. And Jesus knows that this isn't easy to love like this. So in verse 27, he actually says, loving like this is like carrying a cross. And Jesus, at this point, when Jesus is talking here, he hasn't gone to the cross yet. But he's directed that way. He's on his way to Jerusalem, and he knows that he will die on the cross. And he will die on the cross because he loves us. He loves us so much. And even when his friends turn their back on him and run away, he keeps loving them. And he goes to the cross for them and for us. So it's like this love is hard. Carrying the cross actually would have been something that was embarrassing and shameful, Jesus says. Like, that's what's implied there when he says it's like carrying a cross. And then he goes and tells two stories, and I'm going to be really quick here and finish up. He tells a story of what it's like if you build a tower, right? There's somebody who builds a tower. It'd be foolish, right, if you didn't have all the equipment you needed to build a tower. Has anybody here built a tower? A sand tower. Yes? Have you built a tower, Moses? Lego tower. And is it not really disappointing when you have a Lego plan in mind and you don't have all the bricks you need? It's frustrating, isn't it? What about, has anybody ever been a king and gone out to war? None of us yet. Oh, yes. Levi, have you been a king? Have you gone to war? Like, have you played a game where you've had to go out to war? Yeah, I bet you have. How about you, Patrick? Have you been a king? Say that again. Magic the Gathering. Do you have to amass your soldiers to go out and fight a war in that game? Technically, yes. Okay, so technically, Patrick. Okay. Yeah, but you have to probably be quite strategic about it, right? Okay, so Jesus is saying exactly that. Be strategic like Patrick is. You have to know what your resources are before you go out and do something. In this case, you have to be strategic about being a follower of Jesus, about being a student of Jesus. You need to know what you have. And frankly, what we have is not enough. We cannot work to earn God's love. There is nothing that we can do to earn God's love. No. God gives us that love for free and with grace and in abundance. So we should be like the king who goes out to war and realizes we don't have enough. So what we need to do is to realize we don't have control of the situation and ask Jesus to take control of our lives, to lay everything down and ask him to lead us. So that's what this passage is saying. It's provocative. It makes us uncomfortable. And that's great. That's what Jesus does. That's what the gospel should do. It should make us squirm and look at our lives in a different way. Any questions before I turn to our game? Anyone want to make it intellectual? No? Great. Okay. So the next thing, John, if we could, we've got a bit of a game. So I asked last week, which was too late, I realized, for most people, because you were all super busy last week. I asked for people to submit pictures of mysterious places in your schools. And so what we're going to do in your neighbor, so who went back to school this week? Anybody? Yeah, and teachers, support staff, anything? Yes, good. So where, that's not very much. What about you? Did you not go to school, Levi? You did. You went to school. Well, but you went, yeah, you resumed your study sessions? No? Okay. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So what we're going to do here is look at these mysterious places. And I bet some of you know where these mysterious places are. Does anyone recognize this place? Okay. Put up your hand. And okay. Where is this?
R.H. McGregor.
Is that right? Anyone else? R.H. McGregor. Okay. So it's not a mysterious place. Jillian knows exactly where it is. Who else knew where it was? Okay. A number of you. Some of you probably even have gone there or been there for soccer or something. Okay, R.H. McGregor, not such a mysterious place. The next one, John. Ooh. Okay. Okay, just because. Say your name and then say the place.
Mandolin, and it's D.A. Morrison.
D.A. Morrison. Anyone else? Can someone agree with Mandolin there? Is that D.A. Morrison? Excellent. D.A. Morrison. Does anyone go to D.A. Morrison or play soccer there or anything? Or go. Okay, awesome. Fantastic. Next one. So we're going two for two. Anyone? Anyone? Okay. Say your name and the place.
My name's Simon, and that's Westwood Middle School.
Westwood Middle School, but why does it say Hart and Jones Memorial School? Sounds like a trick. Yes, it's a trick. So that's Westwood Middle School. Anyone at Westwood Middle or graduate or been around? They have soccer there too. Maybe someone's been there for soccer this summer. There's a lot of soccer there and it's all over the place. Ooh. Anyone recognize that one? Okay, hold on. I see a hand. I'm running. A hand. Somebody knows this mysterious place. Say your name and the place.
Okay, I'm Carol. I'm so sorry. And it's Northern Secondary School.
Is it Northern Secondary School? Can anyone agree with Carol there? Dan says it is. Excellent. That's Northern Secondary School. How did you recognize it, Carol? How did you recognize it? The knight. It's their mascot. Awesome. Thank you. Next one. Ooh. That looks mysterious. Anyone? I think I see a hand. Dun, dun, dun. Say your name and the place.
Hi, I'm Alex. I think is that Earl Beatty?
Earl Beatty? 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 Earl Beatty? Say your name and the place.
My name is Sarah, and it looks like Chester.
Chester? Oh, I've got another. Someone else. Say your name and the place.
Noah, and it's Diefenbaker.
Diefenbaker. Okay, Noah. Anyone? Anyone? This is a hotly debated one. Who submitted this one? I think it might have been... I have it on a piece of paper. Hold on. Okay, so where do we have Diefenbaker, Chester, and Beattie? Chester. Yes, that was Chester. Well done, Sarah. Okay, but thank you for all who contributed. Okay, next one. Okay, oh my gosh. Okay, say your name and the place.
Go Rams, Ryerson.
And your name?
Oh, my name is Vicky.
Vicky, go Rams, Merritt. Okay, fantastic. Okay, I think there, anyone go to this place? Study there, hang out there, work there. Want to go there, maybe? Nice. Thank you. Okay, next one. Ooh. Mysterious place. Okay. Okay, here I go. Bum, bum, bum. Say your name and the place.
Valerie, I'm going to take a guess. Let's try again. Valerie. I'm going to take a guess. It's Jackman Avenue Public School.
Jackman. Anyone else? Well, anyone else have a suggestion? Does anyone want to go head-to-head with Valerie? No? Come on. We have someone who's been here, but I don't think they're there today. They're here today. It's Glenn Ames Senior Public. Oh. Yes. Do you recognize it? Connie, do you recognize it? Is Glenn Ames kind of in your hood, sort of? Not close enough. Okay, number 8. We've got 3 more. This is number 3 and then 2 more after that. Any hands? Ooh, this is a mystery place. Oh, maybe not for say your name and the place.
I'm Sharon. Is that Malvern?
Is that Malvern? Anyone been to Malvern? Anyone recognize it? Have we not had people at Malvern? Youth? Oh, your people. That's why I'm thinking. Actually, no. This is Williamson Road Junior Public. Has anybody been at Williamson Road? No. Okay. Okay, moving on. So it's a mystery. That place is a mystery to us then. One more. Or 2 more, sorry. So penultimate one here. Oh, sorry. I didn't see a hand, but thankfully Leaf waved his hand. Say your name and the place.
Yes, I think Patrick, and I think it's Norway.
Patrick thinks it's Norway Public School?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Good guess. Anyone else want to go up against Patrick? Okay, we got to get out and about more, my friends. Patrick, this is Malvern Collegiate Institute, everyone. Okay, last one. I think this is going to be a dead easy. Hands? Okay, Olivia, you were first up. Oh, sorry, say your name and the place.
Olivia and Glad Hill.
It is. It's Glad Hill. Excellent. So, well, give yourselves a round of applause. So you might be thinking, why did we do this a little bit? So partly I wanted to ask you to look out in the neighborhood and see things that you know very well that maybe other people wouldn't know as well. And particularly because we're going back to school today, that was the theme for this, for today. I'm very thankful for all those who contributed pictures for this. In the weeks to come, I'm going to talk about this a little bit more right now. In the weeks to come, we're going to be in a sermon series called Roots and Wings. We're going to be talking about what it means to be rooted in our faith as disciples of Jesus, what it means to be rooted here in this place. One of our biggest gifts, Church of the Resurrection, is that we are from here. We don't come from Uxbridge and Barrie and Mississauga. Some of us travel a little bit farther, but most of us are very, very close. We are a people who gather, and we live in this neighborhood. So that's one of our biggest strengths, okay? So we'll be talking about what it means to be rooted in our faith and rooted in this place. So roots and wings. Wings being what it means to be people of faith, to go out and be. Going out and being people of faith, being disciples of Jesus, okay? So in the weeks to come, if you see something that's in your neighborhood that you think would tick the box to be a mystery picture that's in the neighborhood, I would love for you to share it with Steve at office@theres.ca, and I would love for you to come and talk a little bit about the thing that you want to share that's in our neighborhood, because it's good for us to know our neighborhood, right? And we can leverage the knowledge and experience of other people in the community this way, right? So we've all just learned a little bit more about the schools that are roughly in our patch today, and so if we could do that more widely with mystery pictures, let's see. So if you want to, you're very welcome in a very res style. It's open, but not mandatory. Okay? Thank you. And also, I wanted to say that part of this Roots and Wings sermon series is going to be our church retreat. We're calling it Resurrection in the Neighborhood. It's going to be on the 28th of September, Saturday, the 28th of September, here at 1100 Woodbine. It's going to be accessible. So our building is accessible often when the elevator's working, mostly accessible. So it's also going to be accessible. There's going to be no charge to anybody, and everybody is welcome. So it will be a day where we are practicing being community together. So we're still in the planning stages. If you want to volunteer and help out with that, we're having a meeting today after the service. I would love for you to join us. But some of the ideas we have are collaborating with a neighborhood group to come alongside them and support the work that they're doing. Another idea is doing a prayer walk, going around and praying for areas in our neighborhood, things in our neighborhood that are going on that we would like to support through prayer. What about having a scavenger hunt? Wouldn't that be fun? To scamper around the neighborhood? I think that'd be really, really fun and something that we could all do together. That's another idea. We'd love to eat together, to have lunch together and have supper together. And then we would love to stay in the evening to worship and pray, making the most of this beautiful space that we have. We can make this space is transformed with Teze once a month, and it's really phenomenal. And so we're thinking of doing something along those lines, to have a place where we can worship God at the top of our voices, but also have time to be quiet and to pray together. Yeah. So again, we're going to meet downstairs at the end of this service. I'd love for you to join me. And thanks for listening. So I think we're going to turn to our stations. It's not, if you've been here for our back to school Sunday before, you're going to be familiar with it and you're going to be old hands. There is a trick in that there are two station threes, so I apologize, that's my bad, bad editing, but you'll see that every station has a sign that's rimmed in green. So this one is a prayer station, and what we're asking here is you can come and you can read the instructions, and we're asking for prayer points to be put up on the board. They're sticky post-its here. You can either draw your prayer point if you want to draw, because some of us are better, would prefer to draw. Some of us can write words down. It depends what you'd like to do. Put them up here. Over here, we have a bubble prayer. So what I'd love is for you to go and look at one of the prayer points that somebody else has put on the board, and then grab a bubble wand and blow some bubbles and pray the prayer. And the bubbles are going to help us remember that our prayers are offerings to God. So you kind of see the bubbles float as we pray, and just the same way our prayers float to God. A little visual there for you. At the back, we have a map, and we're asking, I'd love for you guys to put where you spend your days. Whatever it is you do during the week, mark it on the map at the back. We got some phenomenal things last year. I'm really excited to see where everybody is this year, if it's changed very much. And then finally, if you're back at school, either in any kind of role at a school this year, we'd love for you to write the name of your school. If you have a teacher, write it down. If you're a teacher, write it down. And if you're a student, write your name as well. You'll see at my right, is that my right? Yes, your left, it's at the back. So when you finish filling that out, come and put it in the offering plate, and Judith, and Isaiah was going to help too, but he can't come because he's not feeling great, but Isaiah and Judith, we're going to do it together. So Judith can do it solo today. We'll pray for all of the students and teachers. So we're going to take a good, healthy 15 minutes. So I will tell you to rotate. I'll remind you to rotate so you don't get stuck at one station. But we've got about 15 minutes, taking us to about 11:30. So if I could maybe have the back corner, like from Sharon back, if you guys could start with the map. If this side to the back, if you could do the back to school prayer points at that back. And if you folks could start with the, well, actually, you're all going to have to do the prayers. All of you straight across, go and do some prayer points and bubbles at the same time. Thank you.